Today we continue in our Faith on Film series, and this week's movie is Spider-Man Homecoming. This was a good movie. I ended up seeing it twice, but it was good. And it talks about Peter Parker, who of course is Spider-Man, and it talks about how he kind of gets his powers and how he learns to cope with his newfound powers. He gets in with Iron Man, Tony Stark, and so he gives him a cool new suit. And if you remember from the last Avengers movie, or from Civil War, I think it was, Spider-Man fought with Tony Stark, and so they have a close relationship. But without going into the plot of the movie and giving you any spoilers this morning, I want to talk about one particular character in this movie, and this is Ned, Peter's best friend. And this clip that I'm going to show you is going to be the clip when Ned finds out that his best friend, Peter Parker, who they're both sophomores in high school, that he is actually Spider-Man. So let's watch the clip.
Spider-Man from YouTube.
I'm not.
You were on the ceiling.
What was it? Ned, what are you doing in my room?
May let me in. You said we're going to finish a Death Star.
She doesn't know.
Nobody knows. Well, I mean, Mr. Stark knows because he made my suit, but that's it.
Was Tony Stark made you that? Are you an Avenger?
Yeah, basically. Dude, you can't tell anybody about this. Gotta keep it a secret.
Well, secret why?
Because you know what she's like. If she finds out people try and kill me every single night, she's not going to let me do this anymore.
Okay. I'll level with you. I don't think I can keep this a secret. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I can't believe this is happening right now. Hey, I gotta go.
Hey, where are you going? What are you hiding, Peter? I'm just kidding, I don't care. Bye.
So, as you can see, Ned freaks out just a little bit when he finds out that his best friend is actually Spider-Man. But as they develop in the relationship and as they move on through the movie, they develop a special relationship built around this secret that they have. And Peter finds out, gets a hold of some alien technology. And so he needs Ned to kind of figure out what it is and how to work it. And so Ned asks him to be the guy in the chair in the missions. And so the guy in the chair, if you've seen any kind of these movies before, is the guy sitting at the computer station making sure that the hero has an escape route, knows how to get out, knows what he's facing around the corner. You see all these guys in Mission Impossible and all these other movies like that. And so Ned wants to be the guy in the chair. He wants to be not the sidekick, because that's not a sidekick job. That's the guy in the chair is really important. Without the guy in the chair, the hero doesn't survive, because the hero doesn't know what's coming around the corner. He has to have that guy in the chair. And I was thinking about it, and really, in one sense, now it's not a perfect analogy, but in one sense, God kind of acts like our guy in the chair. Because he's given us guidelines. He's given us a specific mission as to what we're supposed to be doing in life. He set the stage up for us. He's given us, done the prep work. He's prepared us for battle. And now he sends us as followers of Christ out on the battlefield, on the front lines. And he doesn't leave us. He stays with us. He's that guy in the chair who's always with us, guiding us and directing us through the Holy Spirit. But he has us on the front lines fighting the battle. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is not the one doing the real work of changing hearts and minds, because that is what the Bible teaches us. The Holy Spirit is the one who transforms hearts. But God has chosen to use us as the people to share that message with others. So the real work of changing hearts and minds is being done by the Spirit, but that's being done through you and I. God's primary plan to tell people about the church is through you, the church. The church is not a building, it's not a place, it's the people. And as a follower of Christ, you are the church. And God has set up the church to be the instrument of his work on earth. Jesus told the church that the mission is to share his love with the world. Jesus tells the apostles that when he leaves, they're going to even do greater things than Jesus did when he was on earth. And part of the reason that he said that is because it's now a we. We're all collectively working together for the same purposes that Jesus was working. Even at the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people became followers of Christ when the Holy Spirit came down. That was more than is ever recorded as following Jesus when Jesus was on earth. So they're already doing something greater than what Jesus himself had done. God is that guy in the chair. He's in our ear. He's in our earpiece, telling us what we need to be doing. But he expects us to be on the front lines. He expects us to be in battle. Because we face a powerful enemy. And that is the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are." We are warned about the devil and his presence in the world. Now we know that the devil's been defeated by Jesus on the cross. Jesus is more powerful than the devil. It's not the yin and yang situation where evil and good are balanced out. Good wins, and Jesus is infinitely more powerful. When he went to the cross, he died on the cross for our sins. And therefore, he defeated death when he rose again. He defeated Satan when he rose again, showing that Satan is not going to win in the end, but Jesus is going to win in the end. But just like when you cut off the head of a snake, there's still venom in that head, right? You can't go messing with the head after you kill a snake because the venom can still get you. And though Satan has been defeated, his body has been cut off, his head is very much alive and well, waiting to spew poison and venom at those who follow Christ. The story of David and Goliath is a very familiar story. And we have little David, who is a teenager at best. He was going out to visit his brothers, who were on the battle lines, and at the battle lines, the Philistines would send out this warrior who was 9 feet tall, and he would shout at them every day, every morning and every night, and tell them that if they sent their strongest warrior to fight them, him, then that would be the end of the battle. They would surrender if they lose, or the Philistines would surrender if he lost. He mocked God. He said, "I am the greatest warrior, and your God cannot defeat me." And David heard these stories and heard this man talking, and he said, "Why isn't anyone standing up for God? Why isn't anyone going and fighting this giant?" So David goes out and fights the giant with a sling and 5 stones. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have armor. He goes out just as he fought off the animals when he was being a shepherd, protecting his sheep. And he hits the giant right between the eyes. The giant falls down, and he cuts off his head with the giant's own sword. The Philistines freak out. They did not see this coming. They turn and run. And the Israelites, seeing someone stand up for God, finally find the courage to attack and follow those enemies. I was reading a devotional that said that when we see that the giant was defeated by David, that we should think of David as Jesus, being the one fighting the giants in our life. Because the only way to defeat giants is to allow Jesus to defeat them and conquer them. And certainly Jesus is all-powerful and able to defeat those giants in any way that he wants. But instead of miraculously killing the giant in this story, what does God do? He uses David. He uses his follower to do this. He could have had lightning come and just strike the giant dead. Same result. But God instead used one of his followers to show his true power and to show his true might. Not only did God choose David to do this, but David also had to choose to obey. And that's where I think the author of that devotion is a little off, because Jesus does defeat our giants, but he does that when we're obedient to him and follow the way that he has called us to be. Listen to what Paul writes Timothy. He says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul fully acknowledges here that Jesus is present in his ministry, side by side with him. But he also had to take action. He had to be obedient. He had to be willing to take those steps with Jesus. So he's not discounting Jesus' role, but he's saying, "I was standing there fighting side by side with Jesus." Look back at, we talked about it already, but think back to Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes on the believers. Tongues of fire are said to be above their heads. What happens at that point? Nothing. If Peter doesn't stand up and be obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading, the people don't believe because they see the tongues. They don't know what to do. God uses Peter to be his voice. He could have had the Holy Spirit come out in a big loud voice and say the same thing Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." But that's not the way that God typically chooses to work. He chooses to work through you and through Peter. And so he gave Peter the words to speak, and at that point, the people knew how to respond to the miraculous thing that they're seeing. Then they knew to repent and be baptized. When God is working in the world and through Scripture, he uses men and women just like you. He doesn't choose the most handsome guy in the room. He doesn't choose the strongest guy in the room. He doesn't always choose the whatever guy in the room or gal in the room. He chooses those who choose to follow him and are willing to be used by God. David was the scrawniest of his brothers. He was the youngest brother. But God still chose him to be the king of Israel. And so no matter what you feel like you are in relation to those people around you, if you're a willing servant of God, he will use you. God will use you, and he can use you in mighty and amazing ways. Ways that you can't even imagine. And it all starts with being willing to obey and willing to go on the front lines and say, "Yes, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will go. Whatever you tell me to do in that earpiece, I'm going to do for your glory." God's chosen plan of salvation is through Jesus, but the way that he's spreading that message is through you, the church. Jesus told his apostles before he ascended to heaven, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus gave this command to the disciples, and he gives that command to us today. And it's not a mission impossible, but it's a mission that we must accept and we must fulfill. Jesus said in Luke 19:20 that he came to seek and to save the lost. That is our mission, to seek and to save those who are lost, those who do not yet know Jesus and know of his love, need to know it. And the way God wants to spread that is through us, you and me, sitting right here in Hayes, Kansas. Jesus says that he's not sending us alone, though. He's sending us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us and directs us. He's in that voice in our head telling us what to say when we need him to do that. But just like Spider-Man, we have a choice. We can say yes and we're going to follow them, or we can say no, we're going to do it our own way. Because God doesn't force our hand. God gives us the option. Will we obey? Will we listen to him? Will we fight this battle that he's calling us to? Or will we not? He tells us that if we choose to follow him, that we may endure suffering. Acts 14:22, Paul and Barnabas strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Following God and saying yes to Jesus is not always easy. It's often marked with hardships and challenges and persecution. Yet as followers of Christ, we have already experienced the love and the joy and the acceptance and the forgiveness of Jesus. And because of that, we are compelled to share that with others. David didn't walk on the battlefield alone. He walked with God by his side. It's not enough for us to just say God's going to take care of everything. We need to be on the front lines fighting this battle for the Lord, doing what God commanded us to do, and that is to seek and to save those who are lost. God's power is what causes these things to come to pass. So to think that we're doing this all on our own is to think that to be arrogant. Because while we're on the front lines, the Holy Spirit is the one doing the work. He's just choosing to use us as the vessels for his labor. To be arrogant, Isaiah 2:1 says, human pride will be brought down and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. So while we're on the front lines fighting these battles, we need to remember that the only power that we have is coming through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We're to be obedient to God in all manners. And in doing so, we will share in the victory when Jesus returns on the last day. God is living and active in our world, and our job is to be agents of change, fighting on the front lines, battling evil, loving people so they know the love and forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ. Will you allow God to use you in that battle? Because that's really the choice that we have. Will we accept Jesus' love for ourselves and then take the next step and tell others about Jesus? Because when you do, that puts you on the battle lines. Because the enemy doesn't want God's love to spread. He wants poison to spread. He wants people to not believe in God, to not follow God, to not love God, to not experience grace and forgiveness. But those of us that have experienced God's love and grace and forgiveness are the ones that Jesus says will go out and tell others about that same gift. Another famous Spider-Man line is, with great power comes great responsibility. As a follower of Christ, you have the ultimate power living inside of you with the Holy Spirit. But will you accept the responsibility that comes along with that gifting? Will you go to where God calls you to go? Will you do what God calls you to do? And will you do it right where you're at? You don't have to go to a foreign mission field to follow God. You can start following God right where you're at with the people in your life that you already know who need love, who need forgiveness, who need to experience grace. Don't ignore God's prompting and God's leading in your life. Don't ignore the commands of Scripture to share the love of Christ with others. Take those steps of obedience now. Get on the front lines and fight.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.